So good morning, everybody. It's glad to, I'm glad to see you, and what a beautiful day it was yesterday. sun was shining, birds were singing, and I was going to wear my Hawaiian shirt this morning and looked outside, and I'm like, nope, can't do it. So anyway, on this Father's Day today, I just wanted to offer some words of encouragement, and I want you guys to know that, you know, we pray for you not only today, but throughout the year, because, you know, being a dad's not an easy job. As you know, being a mom's not an easy job. Frankly, being a human's not an easy job. But yeah, we all need prayer and the support of God. And I realize that, you know, today can be a tough day for some of us. Some of us, we've lost our dads, and or we grew up without dads, or maybe our dads weren't the best role model. Maybe we haven't been the best role model. But that doesn't mean that we can't realize who our role model is, and that's Jesus. And it's never too late for us to start. If we've not followed the path that we should, start today. It's never too late to be the example for our children and grandchildren in the years to come. And the Apostle Paul, he made it clear in a statement in Corinthians when he wrote in Corinthians 11:1, he said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And it was his desire to follow his example as he followed the example of Christ. And that's a godly legacy. If we can say, follow as I followed Christ, what a legacy is that we can leave for our kids. And that should be our heart as a dad. And of course, there's many here that have had wonderful parents. I had wonderful parents growing up. I'm super thankful for them. I had a great childhood, and I hope a lot of you had as well. And I'm thankful for them, and thankful for God and the faithfulness that He showed through their life as well. So again, our ultimate desire is to have people see what Jesus sees, and that we pray every day that dads here would be an example of what Jesus did and how He lived for God, and He was a reflection of God and His glory, and through Him we have salvation and eternal life. And while the responsibility of being a dad sometimes can be super difficult, remember these words in 2 Corinthians 12:9: "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So let's watch this video that we got to kind of celebrate and thanks dads, and we'll continue on.
Today is a day of celebration, a day to honor the men who've shaped us, led us, and walked us through life. It's a day to say thanks to all the dads, for all the times your strength held us up, and the moments your wisdom lit our path, for encouraging us to seek God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength, for living your life as an example of what a man of God should be. Thank you for the discipline we deserved and the grace we did not, for the memories we treasure and the lessons we cherish. Today, we thank God for all the ways you've shaped our lives. We love you, Dad.
Happy Father's Day. Thanks for being here, and we appreciate you. And let's give a big hand for all of our dads here. So in the conference that the staff, Pastor Bob and Pastor Jim and I and Kelsey and Shannon went to a couple weeks ago, one of the seminars they talked about when you're given your sermon is that you should speak to the people as if you were speaking to them on Monday, right? So be the same that you are on Sunday as you are on Monday. So I've ordered a cheeseburger, and hopefully it'll be here soon, because usually when I speak with people, I'm eating. So anyway, I'll do my best. So the title of my message today is Water Skiing, Scuba Diving, Social Media, and Deep Community. And you're probably wondering what I'm going to say. Frankly, so am I. And so let's jump in. And that pun was intended, so hopefully you got that. So when I was 8 years old, I learned how to water ski. And there's a picture. Okay, so yeah, right there. So I was older than eight in that picture, and you can tell that I'm literally twice the man that I was then. And that was back in the day before they had actually shutters. So I think Carrie probably took that picture. She had to take the lens cap off, hold it there. So that's why it's a little bit blurry. But
you were just going so fast.
Yeah, just going so fast. So that is the only picture of me water skiing that we have. And it's an awesome sport. I truly love it. But and there's freedom in water skiing. You're skimming across the top of the water. It's exhilarating and exciting. And but when you think about water skiing metaphorically, it's really kind of a superficial sport. You're skimming over the surface of the water. You're disconnected in a sense. You don't really have any idea what's beneath you. You know, I've skied in water that's like 6 inches deep and made it fine, right? And I've skied in water that's super deep and made it fine. But really, I had no idea how deep the water was or anything like that. So it was kind of a superficial relationship, and it really doesn't take much faith. If your equipment failed, you just waited till the boat got back, and you got back in the boat. No big deal. Then when I was 11, I learned how to scuba dive, another awesome sport. Here's a video clip of me scuba diving. So, that's not me. Yeah, there we are. So when you think of scuba diving metaphorically, it's a pretty immersive sport, right? There's a lot of freedom in gliding through the water and exploring the surroundings that God created. And it's very immersive, right? You're surrounded by the water. And you know, as you're gliding through the kelp, you can take time to just really appreciate nature and what God's created and the diversity in that. Like, I don't know, well, you probably saw that starfish that I was holding up. I was checking out what it was eating. And it's just amazing. Just that immersion that you feel when you're scuba diving. But it takes a lot of faith to scuba dive, right? If your equipment fails, you don't have a lot of time to make a change. And you depend on your buddy a lot, too. It's a sport of community. So how does water skiing or scuba diving have anything to do with our lives, our relationship with God, or our relationships with others? And so let's continue with the metaphor. We're talking about social media today. I don't know how I drew the short straw in talking about that, but I lucked out. So if you guys hate me when you leave today, I'm sorry. Hopefully you won't. But social media is a lot like water skiing. You're moving fast. You're skimming across the surface. There's no personal face-to-face interaction, no deep relationships per se. It doesn't take a lot of faith to be in a social media relationship. And now, I don't believe that there's anything inherently wrong with social media, right? It's a tool, and it can be well used or it can be misused. It's like the printing press. It was intended to print Bibles. It prints a lot of other stuff now as well. Or the television, right? It can spread the gospel or it cannot. So it's just a tool in our arsenal, and it's not going away. And social media as a tool can be great. I mean, it's only been within, the last 15 or 20 years that we've been able to reach people globally in an instant with photos and videos and, you know, just the ease of the Facebook and the MySpace and the FaceTime and the Twitter and the whatever else. There's like 220, I Googled it, so I'm a vast wealth of information with Google. There's like 220 different social media things, and it's crazy. Anyway, so it's truly amazing. And the other good thing about social media is that there's a vast amount of resources available, right? You can find any version on the Bible online. There's awesome references, tutorials, everything. So as a tool and used correctly, social media can be awesome. And I'm not disputing that. Now let's look at the downside of social media. According to a research by the Pew Research Center, of the U.S., and it was conducted in July of 2020. About two-thirds of Americans, on average, 64%, say social media has a mostly negative effect on the way things are going in the country today. 1 in 10 Americans say social media sites have mostly positive effect on the way things are going, and 1/4 of these platforms are neither positive nor negative effects, so they're just neutral. But they've also found that there can be some serious side effects that can come from heavy social media use. Some concerns are that social media can be addictive. It can be divisive. It can be used to spread misinformation. It can create unrealistic comparisons, and it can contribute to mental health disorders and distorted reality. So let me show you a couple of examples of distorted and misrepresented reality. So the first one is we've got this young girl there with her puppies having a picnic in this beautiful park-like setting. Probably got a gourmet lunch sitting there. And you know, you look at that and you're like, oh man, I'd love to be there just enjoying life. And then you look at the real picture. What? She's sitting in a vacant lot next to a busy street munching down on some Taco Bell. So, you know, the post versus reality, slightly different. So here's another one. We've got a gorgeous basket of fruit and pottery and flowers, perfectly lit, the epitome of organization and well-being and peacefulness and tranquility, and several other adjectives that I probably can't even think of right now. Then we got the next one. Yikes! What a mess. I mean, what happened to the well-lit photo? What happened to the well-lit basket and all that stuff? And what's all that junk and all that kind of stuff? And whose hat is that in the photo anyway? And it's like, you know, Photoshop and filters and all that stuff can do wonders to crop out reality to show us just a portion of what we want to share. And then the other great thing is this pops up on my social media stuff every once in a while, is we see that guy or girl with the perfect physique, and here's what I'm supposed to look like at my age. So I'm going to take my shirt off real quick, and we can do a quick comparison. So I've got more of a beard than that guy, and he might have a little bit more hair than that. But so I look at this picture, and I'm like, man, if I looked like that, my life would be perfect. I could, you know, lift 500 pounds and, you know, just be wonderful. And so I think, okay, man, I'm going to start a strict diet. I'm going to start working out 3 hours a day. And then how long does that last? Until I swipe to the next page and there's a big fat cheeseburger. And it's like, okay, that's it. So much for the diet. So anyway, another example of distorted realities. And you know, you see things like that, and it's like, man, that's discouraging, right? Everybody else looks like that except for me. Well, okay, that's not true, and we all know that, but yet that's how we take things. That's how we look at it. I got to refer to my emotional support cup here for a second. So I don't know about you, but when I see these things, I can become envious and discouraged, and I'm just because I'm not that, right? So it's tough. So when I think of social media and some of the potential effects of social media on our society as a whole, I think of the passage in Proverbs 5, 1-6. And of course, this verse speaks of adultery. So I inserted social media for folly. I want you to know that I am not rewriting the scripture because I do not want to be struck with lightning. This is merely an example. But so this is the way I have edited, changed, whatever. I want to use a word that's not blasphemy. My children, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding that you may keep discretion. And your lips may guard knowledge, for the words of social media drip honey, and its speech is smoother than oil, but in the end it can be as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Its feet go down to death. Its steps follow the path to Sheol. It does not ponder the path of life, and its ways wander, and it does not know it. And yeah, social media is just, it's inert, right? It has no soul. So it's, again, it's neither good nor bad. It's in the way it's used that can be good or bad. So how about, did I go to the wrong page? Nope. Okay. So how about building deep relationships? Can social media do that? Not really. But social media can help us make connections, and we can make connections worldwide. But it's what we do after we make that connection. Do we take the time to invest in those relationships? Take time to meet with people, go out to dinner with them, go to lunch with them, have them over for dinner, whatever. It's what we do to build those deep relationships that are going to make the Hesed community, and define that in just a second. And so think back to the last time you were at a restaurant, right? And you were sitting there and you're looking around the tables. Did you notice that table where everybody's head's down? They're looking at their phones, doing their little thing, right? And so what did you think when you saw that? Right? Were they developing deep relationships? No. Was that your table? It's been our table sometimes. Yeah. So one of the things, you know, as we're trying to do this text your question program here at CBC, and the other day we got this text message, and it says, "Why do I feel let down by my fellow Christians? I'm an attendee, but I don't feel seen or heard. Are my expectations high? I'm in a body, but I don't feel part of the body." And when I read that, it's like, oh man, that stings, right? That's not what we want. That's not what we're about. We want to develop community. We want people to feel connected. We want people to feel welcome and loved. And that's exactly what a water skiing type lifestyle is. It's fast paced. It's shallow. It's a swipe left mentality, and we end up with shallow relationships. And these shallow relationships can span years. And we think, oh yeah, we've got all these friends and blah, blah, blah. But yet they have no depth or attachment. And we can leave people out. We can feel like we've let them down, or we can feel let down. People can feel like an outsider, or we can feel like an outsider. And then when there's conflict, bam, swipe left. You're rejected. Unfriend, block, delete profile. I'm done with you. I reject you. Whatever it is, because there's no deep attachment. And is there a solution? Yeah, absolutely. Start scuba diving. It's as easy as that. Start your scuba diving lifestyle. Let's develop deep, immersive relationships with God and our community. Perhaps even the person sitting next to you. If you aren't being discipled, get into a discipleship relationship. It's a great way to grow in the Lord. It's a great way to connect with another person. And we've had like 50-some people go through our initial D group. They're ready to disciple. If you want to be discipled, let one of the staff know. We'll hook you up. It's an awesome ministry to get you connected. If you aren't active in a church ministry, like the tech ministry or the children's ministry or any number of ministry, food ministry, the greeting ministry, get connected and become active in one of the ministries here at church. And get involved. We'd love to have your help. We need your help. We want your help. Go on a women's retreat if you're a woman. Go on the men's retreat if you're a... Yeah, come on. If you're a man. Go to the missions trip in Mexico if you're a man or a woman or a youth. It helps build amazing connections. It helps to broaden your scope of the world around you. It helps you to see outside of yourself and see how God's working in other people's lives and working in the world around us. And God's had this solution and plan since the... Let me try that again. God's had this solution since the beginning of time. We need to slow down and catch up to God. And I meant to say that. We need to slow down and catch up with God. And the phrase slow down to catch up with God is the idea of intentionally slowing down to pace our lives in order to align ourselves with God's timing, His will, and to His presence. And a lot of the times we're running so fast that we choose to leave God behind. We need to slow down to catch up to God. Slowing down means taking deliberate steps to create space for God in our lives. It involves setting aside time for prayer, meditation, and studying His Word. It means being present in the moment and paying attention to His guidance. It also means listening to His will, His still small voice, and seeking His direction and wisdom. And it means developing a deep God-centered community. When we slow down, we'll allow ourselves to be in touch with God's presence and His purpose for our lives, and we'll be more aware of His blessings, His guidance, and His answers to our prayer. And when somebody asks you, hey, what's God done in your life recently? Man, you should have an answer right away. And if you don't, you're not looking for it, right? Because God answers prayers and gives us blessings every day. And we just need to have that immersive relationship to be able to slow down and recognize those things. And slowing down doesn't mean to be idle or unproductive. I'm not saying to go sit on top of a hill and eat gourmet lunches with your puppies in a quiet solitude place. I mean, that can be part of it. But you still need to be productive. But it means to prioritize the things that truly matter. Placing our relationship with God at the center of our lives, not to the side of our lives. Being intentionally slowing down, we can cultivate more meaningful and intimate relationships with Him. We can deepen our connection with Him. We can align our lives with His will and experience a greater sense of peace, purpose, and fulfillment. And frankly, we can get more things done if you're slowed down and doing things consciously and on purpose. So slow down and listen to God. Slow down and be immersed in God. Be a scuba diver in God's love and let God surround you completely. Have total faith in God and be conformed in knowing that God has already given you and me everything that we need and all the time that we need to accomplish His will. If our relationship with God is good and is healthy, our relationship with others around us are going to be good and healthy as well. So how do we do this? We need to truly embrace God's love. And John 3:16 is one of the best examples. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. So when I was doing youth ministry, Carrie and I did that for like 12 years when I was much younger. And one of the things that I heard back from the students when I would say this, well, one time specifically, she said, okay, well, that's the world, but it doesn't apply to me. And it's like, no, it applies to you. For God so loved you that He gave His only Son, that since you believe in Him, you will not perish but have eternal life. It's a personal thing, and allow that to be personal. Then we need to be transformed, and Romans 12:2 is a great passage for that. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by testing you may discern what God... That's why it's on the screen. That you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Again, changing our focus to what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And then you need to remember that God is not elsewhere. He's right here. God's not some mean old man sitting up at some place looking down on earth just ready to smite you with His blow, but He's everywhere. And He's right. He's the very air that we breathe. In Acts 17:28 says, in Him we live and move and have our being. God gives us our being. And then we need to not live in fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. And then Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And I think that's one of the things with social media is that we we have that, either that fear of missing out, or we have that fear of not being good enough, or that fear of not being smart enough, or whatever. And God has created us just how he wants us. And each one of us are valuable and chosen, and we need to just find our identity in Christ and live out that identity. So as Pastor Bob shared a couple weeks ago, we need to go to the practice of NDR, notice, discern, and respond. And that came from that book, Hold That Thought, and it's an excellent book. In fact, our Wednesday night small group is going to start going through that starting this Wednesday. So there's an unashamed plug for getting involved in a Bible study on Wednesday night. And so it talks about those three things: notice, discern, respond. So what are the things that we need to notice as we use social media? So you see a post that's ridiculous or offensive or just completely incorrect. What do we notice? What do we think? We need to notice that our thought life, in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments with every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, to take every thought captive and to obey Christ." So we need to notice, we need to know that we're more than our thoughts. We all have thoughts, but we are not our thoughts. That's not who we are. And we need to remember that God is not elsewhere. He's right here. He's the very air that we breathe. And so we notice something on social media. And what thought does it trigger? Does it trigger envy or jealousy, lust, anger, contempt, frustration? Time to notice. Take the time to notice an unhelpful thought, and noticing leads to discernment. And Viktor Frankl said, between the stimulus, noticing, and response, there is a space. And in that space lies our power to choose. And in our choice lies our growth and our freedom. And that space is where we need to take the time to discern. And how do we do that? We go back to 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments with every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And when it says we destroy arguments, that doesn't mean that we get on the Twitter board and start destroying that person, right? It means we destroy it in our mind, we take it captive, and we understand that it's an unhealthy or it's an unprofitable thought. And so we take it captive and fill our mind with what is healthy, what is practical, what is profitable, and we can respond in love rather than in anger. And discernment isn't necessarily finding the answer. It is discerning if it is profitable or useful. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, "You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you." You say, "I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial." Okay, so now it's time. We've noticed, we've discerned. Now it's time to respond. So you see that post, it's ridiculous, or it's offensive, or just completely incorrect. How do we respond? So think back a couple of years to COVID. Was there anything on this planet that we've been aware of that's been more divisive than COVID? Right? We had lockdowns, we had to wear masks, vaccines, social distancing, travel restrictions, testing, shoving sticks up your nose to the back of your brain. And all the other junk that went along with it. So how did we respond? Did we respond in love and peace? Or did we respond with our opposing opinion? Did we respond in anger? Right? Different ways that we could respond, and it's a choice. And what we should do is respond. Sometimes I get confused. Don't worry about it. Where did page 11 go? There it is. What we must do as followers of Christ is respond in love and peace, right? And we need to be God-focused and others-focused and not self-focused. Because what does it really come down to when we respond with anger or with anger, let's just leave it at anger, is that I want to win. I want to be right. I must be right, I must conquer this. And how important is that really in the big picture, right? We need to respond in love and peace. And that's what God calls us to. In Romans 12:8, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Matthew 5:9, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And then 1 Peter 3:11, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. And there's just so much division in this world. It makes me sad. And I know you guys look up here and you see a man that's fully muscled with a six-pack. And, you know, not much emotion, that kind of stuff. But it's really not true. I feel things deeply. And you can ask Carrie if you don't believe me. And when I see division and strife, it just crushes me. And division can come from differences in belief, misunderstandings, miscommunication, power struggles, unhealthy competition, fear, mistrust, prejudice, discrimination, and again, frankly, me just wanting to be right, me wanting to win. That can cause division. When we notice one of these things, one of these unhealthy things come up, we need to take the time to discern them. We need to take the time to find out the truth. And be willing to take the time to find out the truth and then respond in God's love and peace. And the bottom line is we need to create a Hesed community. And as you may recall from the book we went through a few months ago, the other half of church, they defined Hesed as an enduring love or secure attachment. And Hesed comes from being truthful, transparent, humble, and most important, God-centered. And it takes effort. It takes a lot of effort. It's not easy. That's why social media is so easy. Just keep swiping through. But having a Hesed attachment is difficult, and it can be messy, and it can be difficult, and it can probably be uncomfortable at times. But is it worth it? Absolutely. And we need to spend time scuba diving in God's love and strength and choose to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. Amen? Amen. Amen. In closing, I'd like to share with you Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good thing for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him to be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you'd make us truly alive in you. I pray that you will work in each of us to do what is pleasing in your sight, that you will make us holy as you are holy, and I pray that you will equip us in every way to do your will. Father, we just love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.